Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Let's get right into the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible word of the living God. We believe that Jesus is Lord around here, as you can tell. And Christmas is a great time for us to get together. And today's message I call Between a Rock and a Hard Place, okay? And we're just going to share just for a few moments today. Don't have a full message for you. Exodus 17 is where I'm beginning in the Word of God, the Old Testament. Verse 1, it says, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And down in verse 6, it says, God says, behold, I will stand there before you on the rock in Horeb, or the rock in the desert, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. I want to read to you from Psalm 18. This is a psalm of David, where he says this, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I just want to add right here, he says, I will love you, not I feel love for you. Love is a decision and an act of the will. For those of you who may be lacking that understanding, thinking it's always got to be about those, those great feelings where two people are running toward each other in the field of daisies, and oh, it's love. We just love each other. No, he says, I will love you, O Lord. I do love you, but I will love you. O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. And my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn or authority of my salvation, my stronghold. Now I want to weave one more scripture into the Old Testament. Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah saw way down through time and said this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray one more time. Father, we just open our hearts to you today. We ask you, Lord, to give us understanding. Holy Spirit, come and move in this place and change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. We do themes here at Now Church. Our theme this month has been called Rock of Ages, and we've been giving some backstories. We've been talking about our desperate need for rock-solid foundations in the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We've been kind of reflecting on some of the history of rock and roll and some of the ways that music has changed and some of the ways that many of those famous rock stars have found Christ over the years, and we're thankful for that. Several times in Scripture, the writers refer to God as a rock or the rock. Other times, this rock or that rock. But as King David grew into his calling and purpose and drew closer to the heart of God, he began to refer to the Lord as my rock. Not just any arbitrary pebble or stone, but personal. He describes a relationship with God. What we declare around Now Church is that we believe that our God isn't a religious God. He's a God of relationship. And that's why he sent Jesus. When I love what Pastor Chris was talking about earlier. You know, there's no greater proof of God's love than that he came to us. Because we couldn't go to him. We were because of Adam's sin, we were all born sinners. We were born flawed. We were born, even if you're a great person, you've entertained thoughts, you different things where you miss the mark. And sin doesn't just mean filth. It means you've missed the mark of God's standard of perfection. And we couldn't fix ourselves. So God had to do something about it. We sing songs about God being a mighty fortress. But again, David proclaimed Yahweh is my fortress. There's a difference between being a fortress and being my fortress, your fortress. And that's why we personalized that song a few moments ago. The Old Testament children of Israel found themselves in the wilderness of sin. That's what it was called in the pathway from Egypt to the promised land. It was called the wilderness of sin. How appropriate. As they journeyed from Egypt en route to the promised land, and at that place they ran out of water walking in the desert, and the deserts are not known for great rivers and lakes. They were in trouble. 3 million children of Israel, 3 million Jewish people wandering in the wilderness of sin and thirsty for water. But then as they found out that place, as they found themselves that place, they were in this parched land in the desert, wandering about in a dry and thirsty land where there was no water. Suddenly, God directed them to a rock. He said, I want you to go to a rock. And I don't want you to think of a little stone. Understand there was probably a rock formation. Because this rock, when Moses went and took his rod of authority and struck the rock, it symbolized that Christ was going to come and was going to have to be struck in order for us to drink. And the Bible says that in that moment that Moses, he another time later on it happened, he's supposed to speak to the rock, but he struck it again. But you can't strike Jesus twice. He's crucified once for all of us, and then the judgment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, and all drank, so 3 million people got enough water to make it through a whole long period of time through the desert before they would find water again. And the Bible says they all drank that same spiritual drink. They all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock was a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Christ we call Jesus. No wonder David said, my rock. He saw relationship with God. He didn't see religion. He didn't see just law. He saw a loving Father that would send his own Son. This week we celebrate the entrance, the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man on Christmas. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He is the one. He is the only one. He is the one that we had to have someone from God. We had to have God himself somehow get to us to try to build relationship, to try to enable us to be near him. Jesus, our rock of ages, the solid foundation of our salvation. Maybe you felt trapped at times in the wilderness of sin. Maybe drowning in addiction or spiraling out in depression. Things you once thought you controlled, you've discovered that they've actually begun to control you. Just as the people became very thirsty in the wilderness, maybe you're recognizing your own thirst to know and experience God for yourself. And I want to say, you're in the right place. This is what we've been talking about, especially last Sunday. I believe right now we're on the verge of something. We're starting to see young people come to our church that have no church background or virtually any religious teaching, any training in God. And we're starting to see them come here by themselves. Not even in groups yet, but they're coming here and they're saying, we felt we needed to come here to find God for ourselves and not just through our parents or whatever, wherever we were raised. That's a phenomenon. We've been seeing it the last few months, and it's happening in college campuses and universities all over the country right now. You may be seeing and hearing stories right now. If you're not, you're not paying attention. Right now, there are people just showing up places asking to be baptized. There have been thousands and thousands in the last year. There have been thousands of university students without some main leader that have just suddenly come together and said, we need God and we need to be baptized. It's a phenomenon. And I, for one, am so excited because this is a moment we've been praying for years. And it goes in times and seasons and cycles, but I've never seen something like I'm seeing right now. And it gives me great, great hope. Something is on the horizon, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You're in the right place if you're looking for God. Our theme this month has also included a look at the stories of several rock musicians from back in the day that have found the Lord. I found it interesting that Lou Gramm, lead singer of Foreigner, now a committed Christ follower, says that at the top of his fame, he was searching to find the truth. And he looked in drugs, he looked in everything else, he looked in all the stuff and came up empty and addicted. Hooked on the excesses of the rock star lifestyle, he was desperate to find freedom and meaning for his life. And I kind of thought of it, you know, I was a Foreigner fan. I saw Foreigner live in Orlando, Rock Super Bowl IV, Tangerine Bowl, back when it was called the Tangerine Bowl in Orlando, 1978, the summer I met my wife. And I went to this concert. I saw Foreigner and Bob Seger. I don't know if anybody speaks rock and roll besides me. But I went there, and I just found it interesting. What might have caused Lou Gramm to write the super hit, I Want to Know What Love Is? I want to know what love is. It's a powerful song. I want you to show me, he says. Was it a prayer from his heart? Because I want to tell you today that that's what Christmas means to me. Love came down from heaven as the Son of God humbled himself to become totally dependent on flawed humanity. That he'd have to entrust himself, that the God of heaven would come as a seed and grow into a baby and have to be fed and changed and cared for by humans. Some people think, well, yeah, Jesus was 50% God, 50% man. No, he wasn't. The Bible teaches he was fully God, yet fully man. And there's a huge difference in that. But in the man, in his human side, he had to endure and go through things without sin, without going through the wilderness of sin. For some reason, I always have a song in my heart. And this week I've been singing old hymns for some reason. There was an old hymn we used to sing in the Presbyterian church. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And that's what I just thought. I just thought heaven came down. That's what Christmas is. Heaven came to us. Heaven came to earth. And then Jesus comes and says to his people, I want you to pray like this. Here's how you pray. Our Father who is in heaven, we worship and hallow your name. Let your kingdom of heaven come here to earth. It's not about, listen, if you've been in certain persuasions of Christian faith, you've been taught it's all about going to heaven, and I believe eternally it is. I believe in heaven, but understand that we have a reason why we're here on earth. We have a reason and a mandate and a call from God to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, to flavor. The King of the universe gave up his throne to come to earth as a newborn baby, live the perfect sinless life that we could never do. He identified with us in our mess and voluntarily suffered on the cross at Calvary to take the punishment we deserved and trade places with us, that we might become clean and righteous, not by our behavior, but by accepting what he's done. That's good news. Amen. That it's not based on us white-knuckling it and just trying to be good. It's based on accepting the greatest gift of all at Christmas, that we could be in right standing with God. Do you want to know what love is? John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's what real love looks like. He will never leave you or forsake you because it's not based on you. It's based on him. Salvation is not because you're so good. It's because he's so good. And you simply say, yes, I want that. That's what real love looks like to me. He will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Jesus will never abandon you or leave you hanging out to dry like humans will. I want to celebrate today. If you're caught between a rock and a hard place this Christmas season, always choose the rock. And let that rock become your rock. My rock can become your rock. Christ Jesus the Lord. The Bible calls him our cornerstone, our rock, our solid foundation. And we need him today. That's what love looks like. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as we pray? Father, we just give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Jesus, we celebrate your birthday and we honor you and we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We can't imagine that the God, the King of the universe, would come to the earth as a baby and give an opportunity for us to have new life, that you would take our punishment, that you would take us in our wilderness of sin, and that you would give us a drink of living water. You are our rock of ages. You are our rock, and we worship you today. Just with your head bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. It's a special time. I want to close with Isaiah 55, verse 1, where the prophet says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Everyone who thirsts, just come to the waters and get a drink. You don't have to buy this drink." The prophet says, you just receive it as a free gift. But you have to drink. You have to open your heart and drink in of what he has done. With your head bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. Maybe you're here today and maybe somebody invited you to come for a Christmas service, and we certainly love Christmas. But the greatest thing is not Christmas trees and special Christmas presentations. I love all this stuff. But the greatest thing is Jesus himself. You have to open your heart to receive this love. That's all you have to do. Just like when somebody gives you a Christmas gift, if you take it and just kind of set it aside, you might hurt that person. People love to give, and our God loves to give. But someone has to take that gift and say thank you and open it up and begin to receive the contents. That's what salvation is. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe you knew the Lord as a young person, but for whatever reason, life happened and you got off the track. I'm here to tell you that grace, his grace is sufficient, and his mercy is new every morning. It's time to come home. It's time to open your heart again. Maybe you just, whatever has gone on, people maybe used you or abused you and you got away from God. I'm just encouraging you right now. This is the moment where you have to open your heart. The Bible says, to as many as received him, he gave the power, the right, the authority, and the blessing, the gift to become children of God. If you're here today, you say, "Pastor, I need you to pray for me." Well, that's I want to pray for you, and I want to lead you in a prayer. But I don't force anybody. This is the whosoever will. This is the moment where you go, "Well, if I want that gift, I guess I've got to respond." And you do. We're not going to have you come up to the front this morning with what we call an altar call, but I'm calling you to the altar of your own heart. The Bible says, well, that people can't just come to God when they choose to. See, you might say, oh, I'll just, this is nice. I'll remember this. I'll do this later. The Bible says you can't do that. No one can come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws him. And so right now there's a drawing. There's a moving of the water. There's a moving of the water in the rock. And I invite you right now to jump into that. All I want you to do, I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time. Or I want to come back to the Lord. I really want His light and His presence and His fire to come back. I want to drink from that rock. I need fresh water. I need fresh water. I need another drink. If that's you, when I count to three, I simply want you to put your hand up as high as you can. Sometimes people say to me, Pastor, well, I don't know why I put my hand up. I just felt something. Don't let your mind talk you out of what your spirit knows. I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I just want you to put your hand high in the air. I want to pray for you. One. Listen, God made a perfect world. Sin and Satan messed it up. But Jesus came to earth to settle it up, to fix it, to repair it. And now we can enter into it. That's the gospel. That's the gospel in a nutshell. God made a perfect world. Sin and Satan messed it up. Jesus came to fix it. And you and I can enter into what He did to repair it and set it right. Two. Can't wait. Whenever God's moving, that's when you got to jump. Are you ready? Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, doesn't matter what your age. Three, put your hand up and keep it up, up and keep it up, up and keep it up, right there. Lord, I just pray for every person whose hand is raised, every person whose heart is open, every family that's open to the things of God. I pray that you would move into these relationships. Lord, we ask you, Jesus, you are the rock of our salvation. Would you release that living water in you, Jesus? Would you release it now into people to have a fresh drink of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and the power of your name. In Jesus' name. Everyone with your hand raised. And you know, everybody, just say this out loud. Just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart and change me. I want to drink freely of your salvation. I receive you now as my rock, my fortress, my shield, my stronghold. And I need you to partner with me now. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's the greatest Christmas gift right there. Would you give God praise right now? Give Jesus praise. Lord, we give you honor and glory and power and praise. I want you to do one more thing. We have a new tool around here. Just want to encourage you. We want to help you to grow. And the only way we can do that is to meet with you. And so we didn't have an altar call today. But what we have is this. We have a text message called Decide Now. If you'll take out your phone, if you raise your hand right there and it was something significant to you, we're not gonna blow up your phone with text messages. We just want to help you to grow. We have a free Bible for you. We just want to do whatever we can to get you connected to Jesus in a real way. So text Decide Now to 94000 94000 and text that word Decide Now. It doesn't have to be all like it is on the screen. It can be just all caps or all small. Decide Now. If you'll do that, then we'll be following up with you after Christmas. And just we want to help you in any way that you'll allow us to do that. Is that okay? So please do that. I want to challenge you to do that today and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.